When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Number two of the program here on Tuesday morning, and WPRI has a story this morning that their Target 12 team has been working hard on, and that is that Hasbro is considering moving out of Rhode Island. Hasbro, which is currently headquartered in Pawtucket, is a major employer in that city. Right? Is Pawtucket a city? I think it's a city. But Hasbro is a major employer and is actually considering a move to the Boston area. It's been headquartered in Rhode Island for over a century and generates $5 billion in revenue a year. It's one of the state's largest publicly traded companies, and it employs 1,400 local people. Now, I know what you're saying. Well, you know, you leave Pawtucket and go to Boston, it's not that far. But it's also not an easy commute either. Thankfully, you don't have to use the Washington Bridge. But you're going to leave Pawtucket. You're going to go through Attleboro. You can take 95 all the way in, right? Is that it, 95? Is that it? I don't know all the numbers. But you can take that in. But it's going to be a long ride. It's going to be a long ride, and it's going to be a heavily trafficked ride. So a lot of those people probably would not retain their jobs. I mean, I guess it depends on how far out of Boston they're considering going. You know, the Target 12 report says Boston or one of its suburbs. It's been visiting real estate in Boston and in the surrounding suburbs. But if you decide to move north of Boston, well, now it's really going to be a disaster for anybody in Pawtucket that wants to keep their job. And it's not the first Rhode Island company to leave and move to Massachusetts. They are basically saying that Massachusetts Governor Mara Healey is helping to try to lure businesses out of Rhode Island into Massachusetts. And Hasbro may be one of the ones that she's trying to lure in. With $5 billion in annual revenue, yeah, I could see why. But think about, I mean, Hasbro is synonymous with Rhode Island. And so many toys now are made by Hasbro as it's coming and taken over some of the other toy companies. What's it swallowed up over the years? Mattel, Parker Brothers. I mean, Hasbro is pretty much the toy maker now. I just bought some Ouija boards at Five Below, made by Hasbro. That's why it always makes me laugh when people talk about how evil they are. Like, it's made by a toy company. I shouldn't have told everybody that that's where I got the Ouija boards, because now they're going to go buy the rest of them before I can get over there and get them all. They're nice, too. They're wood. But they're small. They're not full size. But Hasbro is a major part of Rhode Island's economic identity. And it would be a huge blow for them to lose that company. The Target 12 story says it's going to be an all-hands-on-deck situation. That's what the Pawtucket Mayor Donald Grebian is saying. Grebian? He and Governor Dan McKee are in contact with the head of Hasbro, trying to do all they can to keep the company in Rhode Island. But I there's got to be a reason why they want to get out, right? Is this just posturing? I mean, you can float it out there that you're thinking of moving without actually going and looking at real estate. I think the fact that they're looking at real estate moves this forward. I'm sure some of you know folks that work at Hasbro who would not want to travel over an hour every day to get to work. I mean, maybe if they live here and they work in Pawtucket with traffic, they're spending close to that a day, but it's different driving from, say, New Bedford to Pawtucket than it is from Pawtucket area to Boston or even north of Boston. I would have liked to have worked for Hasbro. I would have liked to have made toys for a living, one way or another, you know, whatever my job might have been, but have a role in that. The problem is I just assumed it was an industry that would eventually fold. Because kids care more about electronics these days. Well, granted, Hasbro makes some electronics, but still. And there's nowhere to really buy toys anymore outside of a couple of shelves in Walmart and a couple of shelves in Target. You know, I'm talking Hasbro toys. Remember when you were a kid, though, and you would go into the bargain stores and get, like, the knockoff versions of things? Like, you'd go into a drugstore and they would have, it kind of looks like He-Man, but it's not He-Man. They say that they're wrestling figures, but they look like those fake He-Man figures, just painted a different way. I had plenty of those growing up. I mean, I had the real figures, too. But I had plenty of the bargain store variety as well. I was also the kind of kid that would be like, I saw a box of them at the flea market for $5. Can I just buy the whole box? And now all those toys that I let get beat up and thrown away and broken, they all could have been down at Kojo's Toy World making me some money. By the way, if you want to relive your childhood, pop into that store. But Hasbro is part of the economic DNA of Rhode Island and would be a crushing blow if they lost that company. 508-996-0500. You know, every once in a while, if we write nostalgia stories or something on WBSM, you might see a gallery of photos underneath the story about, you know, remember these toys from the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. And if I don't remember the toy itself, I certainly remember the commercial for the toy. I don't really watch children's programming anymore. It's been a while since I did. My son is 20 now, so it's, you know, probably been over a decade. But even then, I noticed there were far less toy commercials than there were when I was younger. Far less toy commercials, far less cereal commercials. I mean, I could recite every commercial that came on TV back in those days because you couldn't skip them. You had to watch them. And they just were so ubiquitous. You didn't go through a show without seeing, first of all, if it was, you know, if you're watching G.I. Joe, you're going to see a commercial for G.I. Joe figures. If you're watching Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, you're going to see a commercial for Ninja Turtles figures. That's another one of the great galleries we'll have sometimes, too, is some of the forgotten cereals, which Ralston had the market cornered on intellectual property tie-in cereals that all tasted the same. So they had the Batman cereal that was really just like sweet corn. They had the Ninja Turtles cereal, which then got repurposed as the Spider-Man cereal. Or maybe it was the other way around. Maybe Spider-Man became the Ninja Turtles. All I know is I thought it was weird that Ninja Turtles had nets, like rice nets, to go with the turtle marshmallows. They had the Nintendo cereal, I believe. I think that was them, where it was the box was split in half. One bag was Mario Brothers, one bag was Legend of Zelda. Genius. The Mario Brothers was good. The Zelda one was a little too sweet for me. But those cereals, we got them not because we liked the taste. We got them because we liked the characters. We got them because we liked the toys. We got them because we liked the tie-in. They had us in the late 80s, early 90s. We kids were that next generation of consumers, and they had us. Our cartoons were just half-hour commercials for our toys. How many more characters can we shove into G.I. Joe? Well, it depends. How many more figures are we going to make? And it culminated with Captain Power, where they said, you know what? Let's make the toys and the TV show work together. And I still remember being baffled by that technology back then, that I could point my toy at the TV show, all the TV show was on, and the TV show would make my toy do something. How does this work? It's magic. I haven't been that dumbfounded by technology until I went to the Detroit airport, and they have this thing in the middle of the airport where you scan your boarding pass and you stand in front of this big screen, and you can see all the information, but nobody else can see it. And so I'm standing there. I scan mine. I'm looking at it. My friend scans his. He's looking at it. I'm reading my information. He's reading his information. I don't see his. He doesn't see mine. How does that work? I don't get it. What is this sorcery? And I remember turning to him and I said, I haven't been this dumbfounded by technology since Captain Power and the Soldiers of the Future. But yes, we were a consumer generation because that's how we were raised. We were raised to sit there and spend our mornings before school, our afternoons after school, and our Saturday mornings plotting how we were going to spend all of our parents' money for them. Well, I can't have all the Thundercats figures and not have the Thunder Tank. And if I have the Thunder Tank, I can't not have the Cat's Lair, which is still one of my most sought after toys. Well, I still might buy one of those someday. It had a video game built into it. But these are the memories that you have and you associate with a company like Hasbro. And now they might be moving out of Rhode Island, which I guess is okay for us because that brings $5 billion of business into Massachusetts, but could be crippling especially for the town of Pawtucket or city of Pawtucket. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Just refreshing there to see if there's anything else that came in. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a break here. We will talk some more about the Office of the Inspector General's report about the Star Store. We'll talk about some other news stories and whatever else is on your mind. 508-996-0500. We will be right back. The best part of the song is where they start going, apple, cinnamon, apple, cinnamon. Right? But that's not what they're saying? It's not apple, cinnamon? No? Okay. Well, I thought that's what I heard. Maybe that's just because I'm hungry and I want some Cheerios. I don't know. But we will play some slightly more obscure 90s songs today, I guess. Or as Participation Trophy Wife has asked me to refer to them as, songs from 20 years ago. She also points out, too, it would be really weird to have the Children's Hospital named after a company that moved away. That is true. The Hasbro Children's Hospital in Providence. But, I mean, I guess they're still the ones that put up a lot of the money to help with it. So they deserve to have their name. I have to actually go to Providence and pick up the tickets to give away for one of our contests. And I'm fairly confident that I can find a time to go where the bridge won't hurt me too much, but I'm also like setting aside a good amount of time where it should be like a, you know, like an hour and a half, 2 hours at the most for me to leave here and run down there. I'm thinking like, when I go, I'm done for the day. I'm not going to plan on coming back. Although everybody says it's not nearly as bad. And certainly the couple of times that I traveled and I went over the bridge around 3 o'clock or so, it was not bad. But that was before they started working on the demolition, too. So we'll see how that goes. Taking a look now as the clouds are starting to part out the window and I'm starting to see a little bit of the sun. Makes me think of the other day I saw one of my friends posted on social media. And actually, he kind of does this every month. But he posts his electric bill and shows how much money that they saved since they've gone solar. And they reached out to Isaacson Solar to find out about it and were convinced that it was the right move for them. They had them come down. They checked out their roof. They checked to see exactly what angles they would get the sun. It turns out they were a great candidate for solar because they got a lot of abundant sunshine. But you don't have to have sunshine on top of your home 24 hours a day. If you just get the right amount of hours where the sun is pointing at those solar panels, it can save you a ton of money. But don't take my word for it. Reach out to Isaacson Solar, have them come to your home, and they will tell you all about it. They will give you simple, honest, direct answers to all of your questions, and they'll tell you whether or not your home is a good fit for solar. If it's not, you can part ways, go on with your day. But if you are, they'll give you a free, no obligation quote. And then you can sit down with your family and decide if you really want to make this move. And once you see those electric bills come in, you'll be glad that you did. So reach out to them in order to set something up. IsaacsonSolar.com, I-S-A-K-S-E-N, IsaacsonSolar.com. They're a local company based in Fall River. They are not going anywhere. They are here to be your partner in solar power. These other companies that knock on your door, they just come in, sell you those solar panels, and move on to the next community. Isaacson Solar is never going to knock on your door. They'll only come if you ask them to come, and they will give you the truth about solar. So again, IsaacsonSolar.com. It is time now to go into the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
The latest on the second attempted assassination of Donald Trump. Portugal in a wildfire crisis and a celebration for America's longest living president.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
The man suspected in an attempted assassination of former President Trump did not fire any shots. Brian Shook reports.
Speaking from Palm Beach County, Florida, Acting Secret Service Director Ronald Rose said suspect Ryan Routh was unable to get a single shot off, and he praised the quick actions of his team.
Yesterday was an off-the-record movement. Off the record. And the president wasn't even really supposed to go there. It was not on his official schedule. And so we put together a security plan, and that security plan worked.
Rose said there has been a dynamic shift in Secret Service policy since Trump's first assassination attempt in Pennsylvania in July. I'm Brian Shook.
The sheriff of Martin County, Florida, says he's thankful the arrest of the would-be assassin happened without incident. Sheriff William Snyder said his deputies were deliberate in slowly surrounding the suspect's car on Sunday. In the sheriff's words, it wasn't a Dukes of Hazzard traffic stop. A swifty wave for Vice President Harris, not likely to happen. An ABC News Ipsos poll shows 81% of those surveyed said that Taylor Swift's endorsement of the Harris-Walz ticket is having no influence on how they vote in the presidential election. 6% said Swift's endorsement makes them more likely to vote for Harris, while 13% said they're less likely to vote for Harris. A couple of days ago, Trump posted on Truth Social in all caps, quote, "I hate Taylor Swift." Portugal is facing a major wildfire crisis. The country's prime minister has described the situation as raging across the country. Thousands of firefighters are battling the blazes, which have forced many to evacuate their homes. At least two people have died and many others have been injured. The government has declared a state of emergency in several regions. Sean Diddy Combs was arrested in New York City Monday after being indicted by a grand jury. More from Mark Mayfield.
It is currently unknown what charges the music mogul is facing, but the arrest comes following multiple lawsuits filed against him that allege sexual assault, as well as an ongoing federal investigation. Combs was arrested at his hotel where he had been living for several weeks. U.S. Attorney Damian Williams confirmed the arrest in a statement Monday, saying that a sealed indictment filed by the Southern District of New York is expected to be unsealed Tuesday morning. I'm Mark Mayfield.
A three-judge federal appeals court panel will determine the fate of TikTok in the United States. A law was passed earlier this year that would ban TikTok in the U.S. if the social media app does not cut ties with China-based parent company ByteDance by January. Attorneys for TikTok and ByteDance were in court on Monday, claiming the law is unconstitutional and violates free speech rights. And a musical celebration is on tap tonight, a couple of weeks before former President Jimmy Carter reaches the century mark. Among the performers tonight at Atlanta's Fox Theater are the B-52s, B.B. Winans, Maren Morris, and the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra. The longest living president in U.S. history turns 100 on October 1st. He's been in hospice care since February of last year.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox are in Tampa Bay to play the Rays. They're looking to bounce back after losing to the Yankees. And the Patriots play the Jets in New York on Thursday night. We'll carry the game for you right here on WBSM.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Good to be with you, everybody, on this Tuesday. We're dealing with some patchy fog, mostly cloudy skies, temperatures around 60. It'll remain mostly cloudy as we head into the afternoon. Some hazy sky as well due to those smoke in the upper levels of the atmosphere. Temperature in the mid-70s, mostly cloudy overnight with some patchy drizzle. Temperature in the upper 50s. AM drizzle tomorrow, chance showers, temperature in the upper 70s. Be sure to watch ABC 6 for my full 7-day forecast. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ceci Del Carmen on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
This WBSM news update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
And welcome back in. That's one of the few remixes of a song that I like just as much as the original song. That is the Quarter Pound version of Hey Man, Nice Shot by Filter. That's the one with the horns in the chorus. It's like, that's why I say, hey man, nice shot. So when we went to Rob Zombie a couple weeks ago and Filter was opening, when they played that song, we were doing that during the chorus because we were, you know, having some drinks and being a little bit obnoxious. Anyway, there's a story that we're about to have published at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. But this story comes from West Bridgewater, where, so if you haven't been following along with what's been going on, since the Georgia school shooting, the Appalachian shooting on September 4th, there have been multiple incidents in the Bridgewater and Raynham area of threats dealing with schools that were, you know, later deemed to be not credible, but that seemed to be coming from the kids. So first on September 9th, or the weekend before September 9th, there was something going around on Snapchat about a threat against Raynham Middle School. Police caught wind of it. They investigated it. They determined it not to be credible. Then last week, there was a threat against a student at Bridgewater Raynham High School. The parent received an anonymous call threatening their student at the school with a weapon. And the school was placed into lockdown as a result. Police investigated, determined that it was not credible. Now there's a new incident that happened yesterday in which some students were coming home on a bus. And I believe they were elementary school students, Howard and Spring Street schools. It doesn't say how old the kids were. But they were coming home from school on a bus, and while they were on the bus, they were calling local businesses saying that they were in the middle of a school shooting and using an app to play gunfire sounds. And then they said that they would be allegedly shooting up a school. They allegedly said they'd be shooting up a school. So they call the businesses. They say, you know, help, we're in the middle of a school shooting. You know, they got the sound effects going. And then they said, well, actually, we're going to go shoot up the school. And so the businesses reported it to the police. And the police investigated it and discovered that it was just these kids doing this. And that there is no credible threat. However, you know, the phrase always used, out of an abundance of caution, they will have increased police presence at all their West Bridgewater schools today. But something's got to get done to show these kids just how serious of an offense this is. We talked about this last week, where is it that the punishment is too lenient? Because so often when we see these cases, what we see is the police department will say, you know, the matter will be handled by the school department. That rather than file criminal charges against a child, they are letting the school just meter out the punishment. So a suspension, whatever they're going to do. And I guess maybe that just doesn't have enough bite to it. Or maybe the word is slow to get around to some of these kids about the punishment you will face. But if I was somebody in the West Bridgewater School Department, the Bridgewater Raynham School Department, if I was anybody involved in these area, because these kids probably all know each other or are connected to each other on social media, they're probably getting the idea. One gives the idea to the other. If I was an administrator or a school official in these school departments, I would be saying, listen, we are setting aside classroom time today to go over exactly what's going to happen to these kids if they do this. They will get caught. They will be punished. And they will face serious consequences. The other side is you've really got to make them understand what that does, creating a false panic. How it upsets people in the school. How it can trigger folks who have been through trauma. And how it serves as a way to kind of make it less serious when something does happen. That if there was something to happen, people would be less quickly to react because there's been so many hoaxes that they just assume it's another hoax. And that could put their very lives in danger. And I know it's hard to get kids to understand consequences, especially these younger kids. But I mean, three incidents now in a matter of 2 weeks, all within a concentrated area. Something's got to be done here. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Hey, Tim. Good morning. Good job, as always.
Thank you.
Hey, you talked about punishment, and it may be too lenient. The schools may be too lenient for behavior such as that. I got to tell you, if I was in middle school back in when I was in middle school, punishment from the school would have been welcome compared to what I would have got from my parents, the father, the mother, until we start holding these parents accountable now. Having said that, our government has taken away parent rights. I'm not embarrassed to say that I don't know what the right word is. My parents reared me. So what that means is I was subject to getting a spanking or physical type punishment. And I was legitimately in fear of my parents when I misbehaved. And that the fear alone sometimes was what made me stay on the straight and narrow. And my parents didn't do it to be mean. My parents did it to discipline me, to keep me on the, because they loved me.
I mean, but you can still instill that fear or instill that level of consequence without having to have it be physical contact.
Well, you can, but you also can't. There are some that I got to tell you, I never reared my children. Now I found out as an adult later on that the fear of me doing it may have been enough over the years, because they felt that at some point my father would crack me one if I needed it or if he felt that I needed it. That I didn't, but and my children grew up to be fine, law-abiding, tax-paying citizens. You know what I'm saying? But the severity of what those children are doing is life or death.
You know, I want to go back to something that you said, though, before, when you said about, you know, back in the days, you know, you'd be more afraid of what your parents would do to you. And a lot of that has to do with the approach that parents have taken to the way that schools handle punishment. Because back in those days, if your school told your parents you did something wrong, your parents believe the school. Now, today, if you tell, you know, now it becomes, well, there's no way my kid did that. You must have my kid confused with somebody else. My kid said they didn't do it, so they absolutely didn't do it. And so it's the way that the parents take the word of the school differently now that I think makes it so that the kid doesn't have any fear of any repercussions at home.
Yeah, I don't think there are. I agree with you. I agree with you that there's probably more of that than when I was in school, when my children are in school. My children haven't been that far removed from school. I must tell you that, you know, I've had on occasion, you know, when my son was little, yeah, there was an indication that he may not have behaved in school or preschool or kindergarten on occasion. And, you know, I don't ever recall saying, oh, it wasn't my son. I remember having, you know, we sat down with my son and, you know, and talked about that, and we took the word of the teachers, you know. But maybe you're right. But I will tell you that the government has, and I think you would agree with me, right, wrong, or indifferent, and maybe for different reasons. But I think we can agree that the government has restricted parent rights. Rearing your children is no longer acceptable.
We're going to disagree on this because I don't think it's acceptable at all. So I think we're going to disagree on
that. All right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I thought you may not. Yeah, I didn't say that it was appropriate. I know that we would disagree that it was appropriate or not. I think what we can agree on is that it's no longer acceptable via the law. The law. The government will come to your house and say, you spank your child, yes, you're under arrest. Where when I was growing up, that was not the case. I think we can agree on that.
Yeah, and factually, yes. But, morally, I think it was just as wrong.
No, I understand. And that's where you and I disagree. But the government's in charge, man. What are they doing? They're supposed to be bringing up these kids. What are they going to do? I agree with you. Something has to be done.
Government's not supposed to bring up your kids.
Oh, yeah, they are. If they take away parental rights, government's bringing them up. Look what's being taught in schools.
You're arguing with me that you should have the right to hit a kid. I'm not, that's...
Well, I think that's, I'm trying to use the right word. I think
there's,
you should be able to
there's,
use...
There's no right word for it. There's no right word for it. You're trying to justify hitting a kid because you were hit, so it must be okay because you turned out okay.
No, I'm just saying this is a result of that.
I can tell you right now, if I mouthed off to you in public and you punched me in the face, I'd learn a lesson and never mouth off to you, but that doesn't mean you should have punched me in the face, right?
I'm not advocating for violence. I'm advocating for bringing up children.
You're literally advocating for violence.
Nah, I don't know.
Physical punishment is the lowest form of being able to punish your child. It's the easy way out. It's the less thoughtful way. It's the way that just is an immediate emotional, angry reaction.
And it works on occasion.
It doesn't work. You know what it does? Is it creates another generation of abusers who do the same thing to their children, and then the cycle doesn't stop.
I'm perfect evidence.
You're one of the exceptions to that.
I'm perfect evidence that that's not the case. Now, I enjoy good discussion, and we disagree on that, but...
I disagree. I'm not saying you're a bad person. I'm just saying we have a disagreement on that.
And I'm not advocating for, beating kids and, child abuse or anything like that. What I'm looking for is if this is not the case, then we've got to hold the parents of those children accountable.
That is absolutely 100% something that you and I agree on.
Okay. And then there should be serious consequences, not for the child or the children who do this. Those parents should be held in criminal court for what their children have become and their behavior.
All right. We'll hold it there. Thank you for the call.
All right.
And callers, hang on. I see you on there, but I've got to take a break here. So let me take that. We'll be back in just a few moments. All right. Welcome back in. Let's go back to the phones. 508-996-0500. You are next on WBSM.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm in so much pain.
I'm sorry.
I know. I am too. But there's nothing I can do about it. So,
there's a few things you can do about it. You can stop listening to me. It'll be far less painful for you.
Oh, no. If anything, it's a great distraction. I got x-rays yesterday anyways. My neurologist ordered the x-rays, and I've done, the MRI, CAT scans. But I went yesterday. I had a month to get them. I don't see him till the end of the month. So I said, you know what? I'm in so much pain. Let me just go and get them. So I went and got them yesterday, hoping that maybe it will show the pain. And, I had a bad experience, like Mary, to come to think of it. They have this new machine, and she couldn't work it. There was two of them. And I was, saying to myself, oh, my God, she keeps saying I'm sorry. And I'm like, okay. Second time, I'm sorry. I'm like, oh, it's okay. Third time, I'm like thinking to myself, what the freak is going on? Am I even going to get the right views? I'm supposed to have 3 to 4 and 4 to 5 on the neck and then the lower pelvic posture bone down there. So I walked out of there feeling like maybe I'm not even going to get the right imaging. So that was weird. I was like, I didn't want to be the guinea pig. But anyways, I can deal with pain. I'm a tough girl, believe it or not. I might look girly, but I've worked hard my whole life, so it takes a lot to make me cry for pain. So speaking of the bombing and bombing threats, way back in the day now, I was like in eighth or ninth grade, my girlfriend called the school and did a bomb threat so that we could all stay out of school for the day. This is way back when.
Oh, man.
Right? And it only took them 1 week to find her. Now, her mother was a woman that would put I don't think I can say the donkey word, a whooping on her, a big time. And, I knew we wouldn't see her for at least 2 weeks. So these bomb threats, it's like nothing new, but so more prevalent, and especially lately. And with Donald Trump right now, with that Springfield, Ohio, there's been so many bomb threats towards the Haitians. And these Haitians are American citizens. They've been there 10-plus years and have businesses. But there's so many bomb threats there now because of the rhetoric. And the children are afraid to go to school. Their kids are afraid to go to school. So it's like, it's just so crazy.
One of the differences between now and, you know, when you were in school, and even when I was in school, you know, when we had a bomb threat when I was in seventh grade. And the difference now is, you know, these things are all happening digitally. So they spread around a lot more. So instead of me just saying to a couple of friends, hey, I'm going to come in and blow up the school tomorrow. Now what happens is you have something that goes around so that, you know, now hundreds of kids know about it. So it becomes that much more serious, that much more panic, and that much more of a traceable thing for them to be able to figure out who it was that did it in the first place.
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, like I said, it took them a week to figure out her. And it was only home phones.
It takes them about 20 minutes now. So
right, exactly. So that's the blessing in disguise with all this nonsense. And it's, a lot of them are just being idiots. But when you start interfering with businesses and calling business, it's like, yeah, that's why your cell phones, when they go to school, need to be locked up. And I think the teacher should have every student's parent's phone number. Only she should have the phone. And all the, you know, their numbers, in case there is an emergency, she can just do a speed dial and do a a voice alert and whatnot. Because they're using the phone, not even in school, making these pranks.
I got to hold you there, Sketty. I got to take one final break here before the end of the hour.
Oh, my God. Yeah, look, it's 7:57. Okay, Tim.
Have a good day.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
I got to take this break. We will be right back.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.